Show with Charlie James.
The first victim to be named in the bombing last night at the Ariana Grande concert in Manchester, England, has been identified as Georgina Callender. Georgina Callender. She is the first named victim. Of course, they're saying 22 people lost their lives in that bombing. And Twitter last night, I mean, it just immediately started last night after this bombing. We haven't even gotten all the death toll in yet before people started saying, don't use this to spread Islamophobia and racism. It was all over Twitter. All of these glorious little snowflakes out there. Don't use this to spread Islamophobia and racism. Let me ask you something. Why do we never hear about Judeo-Christophobia? Why do we not hear about that? Well, this was in retaliation for the bombs that the U.S.-led coalition has dropped. Okay. Well, let me explain to you the difference, okay? We do not drop bombs on people because of their ideology. We don't drop bombs on people because of their religion. We don't drop bombs on people because we don't agree with their lifestyle. That is not why U.S.-led coalitions drop bombs on people. We drop bombs on people that are committing crimes against humanity. We drop bombs on people that are using chemical weapons on innocent men, women, and children. We drop bombs on people to defend the helpless and defend those who can't defend themselves. That's the difference. These attacks, and we've seen them, I mean, from 9/11 all the way up till last night, people commit murder. These radical Islamic terrorists commit murder simply because they don't agree with our ideology. They don't agree with our lifestyle or the Western lifestyle. They consider us heretics. They consider us infidels. That's why they use these gutless, cowardly attacks like what happened in Manchester last night. That's why they use those. Pure and simple. This is murder, what this person did. And we are hearing that another person that not only was the attacker killed in the explosion last night, but police in Manchester, England, have said that they have also arrested a 26-year-old in connection with the bombing. We'll see what comes out of that. We don't know a whole lot of details. They're not releasing a lot of details, especially on the identity of the person who committed this act last night. But while we may not know the identity, I'm pretty sure that we can all guess the ideology. Right? So there is a huge difference between coalition-led bombings of people who are committing heinous acts around the globe and someone going into a concert that is packed with young girls, teenagers, young teenagers and tweens, and setting off an explosive device. I'm so glad that you and I can't wrap our brains around the thought process that goes into that.
Now, here's more of the TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Of course, we'll be talking more about this bombing. Now we're hearing that the 20-something, now they're saying 23-year-old person who was arrested last night at that concert was not associated with the attack. So we'll have more on that coming up. Of course, we got a couple of days of, looks like we're going to have some pretty good rain. We had a nice little downpour last night, and we're going to have some more rain today. We'll be telling you a little bit more about that. Could get the flooding that we always get, you know, here in Charleston because, hey, it's 2017 and we can't figure that out yet. Can we? No, can't quite get a handle on something. And what was it? It was back in the 1800s that one of the mayors of Charleston offered a gold coin to anyone that could come up with Charleston's flooding problem. Here we are 100 years later and still haven't wrapped our heads around that, have we? All right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning, getting ready for Memorial Day weekend. That's coming up. And if you are heading out to the beach, watch out because they are still here, these Portuguese man-of-war. Now, is it Portuguese man-of-wars or is it Portuguese men-of-war? We do not know, which is correct. They're still around as folks are going to be here for the Memorial Day weekend. Some were spotted yesterday, both on Folly Beach and over on Isle of Palms. According to some folks on social media, they turned up earlier this month on Sullivan's Island, then out at Kiawah and some other beaches here in South Carolina. They are described as bulbous jellyfish-like creatures with tentacles that, boy, they will put a hurting on you. Now, they can, my gosh, some of them have tentacles up to 30 feet long. In some cases, and this is even worse, during mating season, what we hear is they actually, their tentacles can detach from their bodies and just float around on their own, so you never see the Portuguese man-of-war, but the tentacles are out there floating around, and they're still active or charged, as they say. So if you get stung, they recommend washing the area in seawater and carefully removing any remaining stingers. The only problem is those stingers are very hard to see. I guess you know, you feel them. They also say to douse them with vinegar if that's available, but the best bet is to get home, shower, or soak the area in water as hot as you can stand. Use cortisone or antihistamines for itching or swelling. If you have a really bad sting, you're supposed to call 911. Now, of course, whenever a man-of-war is seen, guess what happens? People won't go look at it. I'm going to go look at that man-of-war. I make fun, but I probably would be one of those people, too. Of course, they have these sails that look like balloons bobbing on the water, maybe a plastic bag or something, and that is exactly what it is. It's their sail. They're pushed along by the wind, and we've had some winds coming in from the east that they wash them up on shore. So be careful out there this weekend as you are. We got a lot of folks headed to the beach. So those Portuguese men. And don't forget about the regular jellyfish. They're out there, too. And all the other plethora of things that are in the water while you're out there swimming. All right. 556-1250 is the number to be on the program this morning. That's 556-1250. Coming up at 7:35 thereabouts, we'll be talking with Kate Darby about this meeting last night with the Charleston County School Board. We'll go over what was discussed, and apparently there was a PowerPoint presentation that was given. We'll kind of outline some of that and what criteria they're going to be looking at using to grade or to determine, to evaluate teachers, principals, schools in general, and students. So a lot of parents are very upset about this switching around of some of the principals with the Charleston County School District.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 7:40 at the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Let's get right to it. We've got Kate Darby on. She is the Board of Trustees Chair with the Charleston County School District. Good morning, Kate. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. Big meeting last night at the Board of Trustees meeting. A lot of people were protesting outside. A lot of people angry inside. What stood out to you from last night's meeting? What did you come away from that meeting? What was the main feeling that you had?
Well, I think that people came out to speak their heart and what they were concerned about. And we had a few people coming to advocate for some things as well. Mm-hmm. So what I really took away from it was that people, for the most part, were really respectful in what they're looking for, and I think the school board really heard what people had to say. There are concerns about, as we've talked about, I think before, teacher evaluation process, and there were some concerns from some folks about a bus lot on James Island. So mm-hmm. it was well done. People really communicated, you know, what they wanted us to hear, and I think we heard them very well.
Okay. Now, the first major topic that was brought up, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, teacher evaluations. Now, Superintendent Postlewaite's report, she outlined how test scores and student progress and achievement would be used. She said it's not going to affect teacher employment, and it's only, you know, these scores are just one data point used in the evaluation process. Do you think the folks there last night believed her?
I hope they did, because it's the truth. I think some people were definitely heard her, no doubt. Mm-hmm. And then there are probably some people who are really ready to, you know, get up there and talk about their issues. So they may not have, but it is what I've been saying. I think the superintendent clearly said the rollout or the execution, the way we did this and we communicated to principals, was not done well. It could have been done much, much better. But well, I want to make sure every teacher out there knows that test scores, MAP scores is what we've been talking
right.
about, which the kids took three times this year, are not used in their performance evaluation. So we use a something called ADEPT, which the state requires us to use for teacher evaluation, mm-hmm. and student growth is not a part of that, or student achievement is not a part of that. Certainly across the district, we are going to talk about student growth. One of the things that Dr. Postlewaite presented in her presentation last night is that 50% of our students, almost 50% of our students, do not make 1 year's growth when they're in school for a year. And so that's something that we have to change. And the board has put a lot of pressure on Dr. Postlewaite and her staff to get that number down. We want all of our kids making 1 year's growth. So I think that'll be something that principals will be talking about with teachers, but it won't be in their permanent file. It won't be a part of solely part of an evaluation. So I think we're getting that message out.
Okay. Where do you believe what steps are you guys going to take to make sure that you can get this message out more clearly, not only to the teachers, but to the community as well, and to the parents at these schools?
Well, I think that we'll be continuing to visit schools over the next week and a half before the end of school is out. We're having two sessions this summer with teachers to kind of go over and do some training on. We're having the people come in who do the MAP testing to come in and do training, and the board can participate in that. One of the things we're also going to do next year is have what is called a teacher and a parents cabinet. So we're going to have a representative from every single school on that parents cabinet. And so they'll be able to give us feedback, and we'll be able to share information with them that they can then share with their school. And we're going to do the same thing with a teacher's cabinet. And last night a teacher said, you know, the district should be getting input from teachers. And they're absolutely right. We should be. They're the Charleston Teacher Alliance. They do surveys, and we look at those surveys and use that feedback. And with these teachers' cabinets, we'll be able to get feedback as well. So I think we're just going to continue. I've got a meeting at a school today to talk to teachers about the process and get their feedback. So I think we'll just continue to meet with people. I do want parents, though, to understand that the standardized testing that we do, all of it except for math, is required by the state. So if we want less standardized testing, if that's something parents want, that's something we're going to have to address at the state level.
So if they want less standardized testing.
Yeah. And some parents, I mean, I'm a parent. My two children mm-hmm. graduated and from the district. And some people feel like there is too much standardized testing and there's too much pressure on those tests. And I
right.
certainly understand that. And the test that we do at the end of the year to make sure, like end of course, those kind of tests really don't help teachers or parents a whole lot other than to say, oh, yeah, you made a good grade. Really what's more important is things like MAP, which show you where a student was, you know, right when they started school and at mid-year, you know, have they made progress, so we can really help those students with their growth. So anyway, it's an interesting subject. There's lots of challenges to it.
Now, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, principal assignments. Some of the board members are talking about a policy that will give the board more oversight into hiring of principals and in retaining or moving principals from school to school. What was decided when it came to that part of the agenda?
So what was decided for that? We have two different policy suggestions from some board members. One was regarding hiring principals, and one was regarding retaining principals or transferring principals. And so there are lots of details that we need to work out for any of those changes. So we move those to our June 12th Committee of the Whole, which is where we spend pretty much all day at 75 Calhoun Street and work on all of our committee work. So there's some so that's where we'll discuss that further. It'll be on June 12th. And there's, board members had lots of questions last night about the policies and, looking at them and making some tweaks. The one challenge is that really as a board, our role is governance. And so we should be involved in setting policy and the direction we're going in. But my personal opinion is the only employee that we should be hiring is the superintendent. But we'll see. We may implement those policies just as is once we meet on the 12th, or there may be some changes to them.
What about the recommendation that Sarah Johnson said last night that principals, principal hires and transfers should have more input from local communities?
Yeah, so Sarah's the chairman of the District 2, the Multi-District 2 Constituent Board, and they actually sent us a letter with some suggestions. So that's another reason why we sent those two policies to committees to consider their recommendation as well as a part of that. And for hiring principals, we do have a whole process where there's a community team that interviews. So there's that. On the transferring piece, we're certainly going to consider their input on that. I'm not exactly sure how that would look yet to have input, because now in a number of places we give that authority to the superintendent. So we certainly will be considering, all of the input that we got last night, we all took notes, we'll be considering that carefully.
Any immediate changes going to be taking place?
I think no immediate changes. I think the biggest thing is just making sure we're communicating to our principals and our schools and our teachers. Mm-hmm. The piece on the teacher evaluation. We don't want people stressed about that right now, and obviously they have been. So just trying to get that message out that just because we talk to you about a data point doesn't mean that's in your permanent record. That is not the case.
All right. Well, please keep us updated. Kate Darby, we appreciate you being on the program this morning.
Sure. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful day.
You too. We'll talk to you soon.
It is the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA at 7:54. As we get back to the TMA Morning Show, once again, here is the world-famous Charlie James.
And justly popular.
Yes.
It's 5 minutes until 8 o'clock on the Big Talker, 1250 WTMA. WTMA this morning, letting you know that ISIS is now saying that one of its members carried out the deadly attack in Manchester last night.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Yes, we are all completely shocked over that this morning, aren't we? Boy, that was the last thing we thought we would hear, was that a member of ISIS carried out this attack. So we'll give you more details on that coming up as more people are crying out. And honestly, looking at some of these pictures online of not really the victims right now, but the children who have not been reunited with their families yet. Now, understand that is going on right now over in Manchester. This one woman, this wonderful woman, I'm not sure who she was, but apparently she led a lot of these kids from that concert hall in Manchester over to a hotel and gathered them all together and started trying to reach out to their families. We've still got several people that are missing. Of course, Twitter is blowing up about that this morning. But 20 people killed, 60 injured in this gutless attack happening over that happened in Manchester last night. Of course, President Trump talked about it last night. It's just absolutely, absolutely horrible. One witness talked about the attack last night.
As I was waiting, an explosion went off and it threw me through the first set of doors, about 30 foot to the next set of doors. When I got up and looked round, there was about 30 people scattered everywhere. Some of them looked dead, might have been unconscious, but there was a lot of fatalities. So my first thing was to run in the stadium, try and find my wife and daughter. When I couldn't find them, I went back out, and with the police and the fire and ambulance, whoever was there, I looked at some of the bodies trying to find my family. But luckily, they weren't there. Managed to find them outside the arena and got them back to the hotel we're in. But I phoned up because so many reports coming in that it was like a balloon and things not happening as it was. It was definitely an explosion, and there's definitely a lot of fatalities.
Could you imagine going back into that concert hall after this explosion to look for your wife and your daughter? Guys, just think about this. And then you kind of make that realization, maybe I ought to look at the bodies. Could you imagine how gut-wrenching that was for that guy? Because these people don't agree with the Western lifestyle or the Western ideology or Judeo-Christianity. Could you imagine going through that? But that's what these people want. That's what these radical extremists want. And thankfully, we have a president that will make statements like this and call these groups out. Because over the past couple of years, or one of the past 8 years, we certainly haven't had a president that would do that. Have we? No, not at all. All right, 556-1250 is the number to be on the program. Let's go to Tim real quick. He's in Mount Pleasant. How are you, Tim?
I'm all right, man. Listen, I just wanted to say thank God that Trump got elected and we don't have a million Syrian refugees running around in our country.
Yeah.
And then thank God we're getting our border closed. We're getting used to this happening, and that's the sad part.
That is the sad part. That's very sad. That is very sad. Tim, I appreciate you calling in. And this is what the president wants to stop.
The TMA Morning Show with Charlie James.
So last night, a bombing took place in Manchester, England, at an Ariana Grande concert. One of the murdered children last night, and this is what it was. It was just mass murder of children. By this Islamic extremist. Now, ISIS, according to Sky News, has claimed responsibility for this. We'll find out if that continues throughout the day. Listen to what, this is why I cannot stand. I mean, it makes me want to retch whenever I see anything online or on television about MSNBC and Morning Joe. I can't, of all the shows on, that is probably the absolute worst show on television. They had on this morning this BBC host, and of course, BBC, once you hear that, you know they're a bunch of liberals over there. They're kind of like our PBS. This is what this host, Caddy Kay, said about the bombings last night. You ready for this? Hold on to your girdles.
Mothers that they found who are still looking for their daughters, and daughters that they found who are still looking for their mothers, and they can't find the rest of their families. And I think that's what is making Europe is getting used to attacks like this, Mika. We have to, because we are never going to be able to totally wipe this out.
Really? You just got to get used to it. No, that's just the way it is. You just got to get, we're never going to be able to get rid of this. She goes on.
As ISIS gets squeezed in Syria and Iraq, we're going to see more of these kinds of attacks taking place in Europe, and Europe is starting to get used to that.
Oh, okay. Well, just wave the white flag of surrender then. Just wave the white flag of surrender. Surrender. Is this the England that fought off Hitler and the Nazis and the Third Reich? Is this the same England? Who? I don't even recognize these people anymore. Where did they lose their nerve? Where did England? You need a Churchill in office right now. England, you need a Winston Churchill in office. Oh, my word. I'm just, it's mind-boggling to me that this BBC reporter, Caddy Kay, will tell the people of England that, hey, you know what? You just got to get used to it. You just got to get, you were never going to get rid of it. So you might as well just go ahead and get used to it. Yeah. Right now, England has a Neville Chamberlain attitude. Oh, we're going to have peace in all time. They need a Winston Churchill right now. Caddy Kay on Morning Joe, MSNBC, saying you just got to get used to it. Well, and even the mayor of London said, hey, we're a big city. Terrorism is a way of life for us. We're just going to have to get used to that. Aren't you glad that at least we've got a president that will do something to stand up to terrorism? That will say, you know what? We don't have to get used to it. We don't have to accept this as a way of life. And we can fight this. But as long as you keep waving the white flag of surrender, yeah, you're going to have to get used to it. And that's a damn shame when you lose your courage to defend innocent children.
1250 WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
21 minutes past 8 o'clock. Let's go to Brad Franco from News 2 this morning. Good morning, Brad. How are you?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Charleston police investigating a home invasion that happened early this morning. What's up with that?
So there's another one because I was talking. You're talking about the one that happened Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday.
Okay, yeah. So apparently this happened sometime between 2:30 and 4, and the victim said that the guy broke into the house, sexually assaulted her. And what cops are looking for is if anybody was in that area and they have seen anything, or better yet, if you have home surveillance and may have surveillance video,
right?
Where they can in that time frame, that 2:30 to 4 a.m. They want to try and find this guy. That's just scary stuff, man. You talk about the invasion of your home.
Yeah.
One thing to get somebody breaks in when you're not there. But this is a whole different kind of ballgame when you're talking about a sexual assault that occurred at the same time.
Right. That's true. And another shooting in Goose Creek yesterday afternoon. We're hearing reports that somebody was just upset about loud children outside and popped off a couple of rounds. Two people were shot. And they're saying that the intended victims might have been the kids.
Yeah, an 8-year-old and a 1-year-old. And the attorney for the family, Mark Pepper, said that the neighbor came out and was hollering about loud kids and then started shooting. And, you know, a woman was wounded in the chest, and then a man was shot in the back. And Pepper said it was as he tried to shield his family from the gunfire.
Right.
Luckily, they're going to be okay. But, another one of those stories makes you shake your head. Just like, what is going on? What is, to combine that with what's going on in Manchester, and it's just like, this is craziness everywhere.
Right. I mean, I was saying this morning, I don't know anybody in my circle of acquaintances and friends that would use a gun like that to solve a dispute.
Because the kids were loud?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Certainly nothing. I mean, what did they think the end result was going to be other than tragedy? Other than tragedy. So what's the latest on Manchester? We're hearing that that now ISIS has claimed responsibility. And these were young teenage girls that are the demographic for Ariana Grande. And this they're saying it was a nail bomb.
Well, you want to talk about inflicting terror on people. Go after the children.
Yeah,
and that's exactly what happened. And as you know, you have to sit and wonder, like, wow, I can't believe that they haven't. I can't believe we're saying this, but I can't believe that hasn't happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And more often, because that, I mean, you want to grip people and cause the most fear and panic, and that is somebody coming after your child. But you know, by the same token, go after somebody's children, and you know the response comes in kind tenfold.
Right.
So I think so far the statements are the statements that you're going to get. They're the boilerplate statements that are coming from leaders. But the question is now, like, you know, Europe, when there are attacks, it seems like they come in waves.
Yeah.
So you know that they're, especially in Great Britain, are wondering, okay, is there something else coming? What's next? And they already made an arrest at a shopping center, and they say the guy is connected in some way, though they haven't said how. They have identified this suicide bomber, the evil loser, as President Trump referred to him.
Right.
Because he didn't want to even give them the distinction, because he thought they would revel in the fact that they would be called monsters.
Yeah.
So he's, from now on, going to refer to them as losers.
You
wonder what, like, I mean, what do you do? And you know, the president has been, you know, in both of his stops so far, he's wanting, you know, he's talked about terrorism and driving them not only out of their places of worship and their communities, but drive them out of the earth. And you got to wonder at what point, and if that happens, if he can get that kind of cooperation, and you know, what else do you do?
Right. Because they're out there to inflict as much damage.
It's not an
exactly.
You know what I mean?
It's an ideology. That's right. School board meeting last night. That was a little bit. It was respectful, but certainly heated at times. Right.
Right, and not the turnout that we were told it was going to be. We were expecting a lot more, I think.
Right.
But still, I think the point is made, and the controversy remains. It's not to say that the controversy has waned in any way.
Yeah.
Some folks calling for Dr. Postlewaite to resign. That obviously didn't happen. But we'll see what's next, because I just feel like there's a lot more to come here. I don't think that we have heard the last of this, because the scores that they were accused of using as the sole determining factor in some of these decisions as far as hiring and moving of principals, it's maligned across the country. It's not just here in the Lowcountry. I mean, there are school districts across the country that say this is bogus and shouldn't be used.
Right. It's not. Yeah. It's like
maintains. It's only part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not, like you said, it's not just restricted here to the Lowcountry. All right, buddy, we appreciate it, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
All right, buddy, stay dry.
Thank you much. You too. Brad Franco from News 2 JD is in Bono. JD, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Wonderful. What's on your mind today?
The bombing in England and the Mideast, and what Trump has been doing recently. Mm-hmm. He recently met with a boss. And one of the things that is put forth about a boss is that he is a moderate.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of the matter is he's a terrorist. He's participated in terrorist activities before. He has been part of attacking and killing innocent people. And when we have a president of the United States meet with someone who has a terrorist history, it legitimizes their actions of the past, and it, and when we look to them as some kind of a partner in peace, we automatically are saying to the terrorists, we're automatically saying to the radical view of Islam that yes, these actions work, and it can get what you want. All you have to do is do it for a while and then stop and become a quote-unquote moderate. And you don't see any of the Muslim leaders Trump just met with rushing to the microphone to condemn the attack in England.
Right, yeah, that's right. I mean, I'll completely agree with you on that. Where is the Muslim outcry this morning? I mean, ISIS taking responsibility of this. Everybody wants, you know, don't use this to further Islamophobia. But where are the Muslim leaders standing up and screaming about this, about the death of innocents? JD, I appreciate you calling in. I'm sorry, I got to hit a break here.
WTMA. Now, the TMA Morning Show continues with Charlie James.
Good morning. It's 8:39, 21 minutes until 9 o'clock on the Big Talker 1250 WTMA, WTMA.com. Rodney is in Goose Creek. Rodney, what'd you think about that school board meeting last night?
Well, it's typical school board people. I don't think they address any of the real issues that people are clamoring about. Did they say that 50% of the students don't reach the markers to keep up with the year's growth in the school?
I think that was one of the stats they threw out. Yeah, but I don't know. I don't know what markers they said. I don't know, you know, how high these standards are. But like we were talking with Brad Franco a few minutes ago, there are school districts all over the country that hate this MAP testing.
I know it, and the testing is a big issue. I grew up and worked under the system where the testing was pretty much accepted. In fact, I worked with communities and schools in Savannah in the 90s and took the tutoring program for reading out of the elementary school into the middle school. And we selected about 75 students, tested them to see where they were at. Seventh graders were on a third grade reading level.
Wow.
Now, in 3 short months using volunteers from banks, industry, hospitals, we raised those reading scores 3 grade levels. I had a couple of kids that looked like they didn't even really need it. But when I checked into it, I asked them, I said, who taught you to read? My grandmother.
Right.
I said, what did your grandmother use? Hooked on phonics.
Yeah.
This is not a difficult thing to do.
And, yeah.
And
so,
if our schools would just systematically intensify phonics training, I'm not just talking about teaching them sounds, I'm talking about teaching them phonics, we could have all these kids up to grade level. But when it comes to the testing scores, I don't think the school system really wants to test because it proves how bad they're doing. If you, I know in Georgia in the 90s, the people that were usually against the test scores insisted on keeping, and I think it's still that way, insisted on keeping the test scores from private schools, home schools, and Christian schools in the mix of things. If you took those out of the testing scores,
right,
public school, it would be a whole lot worse than it is.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, statistically, well, you also see, and it's all about that parental involvement. Now, Rodney, you said you were able to take these kids with a third grade reading level and boost them up by a couple of grades. Did you use the phonics program to do that?
Sure did.
Yeah. So, I don't know, Rodney. We got a lot of these folks out there. They're administrators. And when you look at the amount of administrators, the growth in hiring administrators throughout the years, that has really eclipsed the hiring of good quality students.
Right.
And we're spending so much more money per student these days.
How is the tinkering and moving around of the administrative thing with the student, with the principal, how is that going to solve the problem? That ain't even touching what they're teaching the kids in history. And things like
right,
that.
Right. But the only thing that I saw, and we talked about Kate Darby about this 2 weeks ago, if you have a school that is underperforming over here, and here you have a principal who is getting results at a school, wouldn't it kind of make sense to move him to a school that is underperforming? Would that be a good solution for that school?
I don't know. If you move him around, then the other one goes to underperforming again. So what have you gained?
Well, it almost seems like a race to the middle.
Yeah, well, it's a focus on the wrong thing. It's a focus on the administrative aspects of the educational system.
Right. Instead of the actual teaching of the kids. Rodney, I appreciate you calling in. We'll find out if anything is going to change. Of course, we talked to Kate Darby this morning, and we'll find out. She said they're taking everything that was mentioned last night under consideration. So we will see if any changes come in the next couple of days. Right now, and don't forget, coming up in just a few minutes, I've got some tickets for you to go see the River Dogs play. We'll be giving those away coming up in just a little bit. But I want you to plan to join us for the WTMA Inaugural Charity Golf Tournament. This is coming up on June 15th out at the Golf Club at Westcott Plantation. We're going to be making a donation to Big Brothers and Big Sisters. You can sign up to play today. It's $75 for singles, or get your foursome together, $300 for the foursome. And that includes your golf, your cart, lunch, and post-game buffet. We're also going to have skills challenges all throughout the day and award ceremony coming up afterwards. And as I said, you can sign up right here at our studios in North Charleston, or easy, you can go to WTMA.com.
1250 WTMA. It's Charlie James on 1250 WTMA.
Tell you what we do right now. I got a family four-pack of tickets to give away to go see the River Dogs play. That's right. Four tickets to see the Charleston River Dogs any 2017 home game at the Joe. I'm going to take caller number 7 right now at 556-1250. That's 556-1250. You will pick up this family four-pack of tickets to go see the River Dogs play. I think they're taking on Greenville coming up this week. So, of course, they're coming off a 3-game win streak against Augusta, which was did my heart good. I mean, I like the Green Jackets in my hometown, but still, I like to see the River Dogs get out there and do a great job. All right, 556-1250. Let's call to, go to caller number 7 right now, and we'll say, who is this? Good morning.
Yeah, this is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing just fine.
All right, congratulations, pal. You just picked yourself up 4 tickets to the Charleston River Dogs any 2017 home game at the Joe. How about that, man?
That's great. Looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you listening. Thanks for tuning in. Going to put you on hold and have John Quincy pick up, grab some information from you so you can get those tickets. Don't forget, keep your umbrella handy today and tomorrow. Looks like we got a chance of some pretty heavy storm coming in, storms coming in. Of course, had some pretty heavy rain last night. Supposed to get some wind and a lot of rain today. Watch out for some of that local flooding that we always get. And again, I was telling you this morning, was that Charleston mayor back in the 1800s offered a gold coin to anybody that could come up and solve Charleston's flooding problem. To date, no one has collected that prize. I want that gold coin. All right, for the first time in its history, and this breaks my heart right here, man, but I'll tell you why coming up in a second. MSNBC has ranked number one in both total viewers and the key adults 25-54 demographic during primetime for the full week. That's among all the big three cable news networks, according to the Nielsen people. For the week of May 15th, MSNBC averaged 2.44 million viewers, with 611,000 in the key demo from 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock at night. That beat out CNN and Fox News for those time slots, which is pretty disappointing because I think Tucker Carlson's got a really good show over there on Fox at 8. So in total day viewership for the week, CNN was ranked number one in cable news among adults 25-54 for 6 straight days. That's May 4th through the 19th. That's the network's longest winning streak in 6 years. Now, Fox News finished first in total viewers with 1.5 million and second in the 25-54 demo with 321,000 viewers. MSNBC was second with 1.2 million and 281,000 in the demo. And CNN is third there. All right, so also Fox News ranked number 3 in primetime in key demographics for 5 straight days with 497,000 viewers. So it looks like, and a lot of people, you know, Rachel Maddow, her ratings are right now going through the roof. And the reason is that I think what they are doing now is when you get your remote for your television, on that remote, let me see if I got a brand new remote here. Oh, yeah, there it is. It's a little snowflake on the remote there. And you can just hit the snowflake button. It'll take you right to Rachel Maddow. Yeah, because the snowflakes, they need a safe space. They need a safe space where they can get on there and hear nothing but their views and never, never have to worry about anybody saying anything positive about President Trump or the Republicans or anything like that. All they have to do is hit that little snowflake button, and it'll take them right to Rachel Maddow, where they will just spread their fake news, such as Melania Trump slapped away President Trump's hand in Israel as they were walking on the red carpet. No, that's not what happened. Not what happened. It was a little, it was almost like a little high five that they were doing there. So, but no. That's fine. So, Rachel Madcow, doing quite well in the ratings. And again, and you know, when I have people on the show, and I don't mind listening to someone else's opinion. I really don't. I don't have to agree with them. I don't mind listening to them. I mean, I'll listen to you, whatever. As long as you're respectful, as long as you got some sense about you, as long as you're not doing any name calling or being ugly, you can have a civil discourse. And I really don't mind listening to people like that. I don't. But like I had one caller yesterday, people were like, why do you have people like that on your program? Ooh. Well, I'm sorry. It's not a safe space. Not a safe space. I think it's healthy for people to listen to others. This isn't a bunch of snowflakes walking out at Notre Dame. This isn't Berkeley, California, where we try to squelch people's opinions. Like I said, as long as you're respectful. Speaking of respectful people, let's go to Steve in Hanahan. Steve, this terrorist attack, absolute nightmare last night over in Manchester.
For sure. But you just had to mention Rachel Maddow before.
Yeah. Got right.
You know, every now and then I have to go over there because I enjoy a good laugh.
Right.
She is classic, make something out of nothing. I mean, it's yeah. the funniest thing sometimes to watch her try to make something out of nothing. But anyway, yeah, I mean, obviously we're deeply troubled and the long arm of terrorists just reaches worldwide now. And let me tell you, the barbarians are out. You're either civilized or you're a barbarian, and
yeah.
you know who we are. And you either condemn or condone. And I don't hear some people condemning that shouldn't
no.
be at this point.
No.
And that's very troubling. But, and you know, we're heartbroken. I mean, how does any human, with any ounce of compassion, kill children?
Right.
Needlessly and senselessly. But I want to go to something else. And if you've already I got in late this morning. I was in
What's
early
that?
On the radio, but then I got in late. I apologize if this has been discussed. You know, United Kingdom has had a long history of terrorist attack going decades back to the IRA.
Right, yeah.
This is nothing new to them.
Mm-hmm.
The obvious lack of security. Now
yeah.
I've heard a report that there wasn't any security.
None. There was no security. In fact, here, let me play this little clip from an eyewitness. He was on Tucker Carlson last night.
So that was going into the concert, so there's no security whatsoever on the outside where the explosion took place.
So anybody could have brought anything into where the bomb went off?
Yeah.
Anybody could have taken anything into that arena last night.
Charlie, how does that happen? I shared a story this morning. I went down to the Heritage at Harbortown
yeah.
this spring. When you go, they have scanners. They have people. You walk through, they scan you. They make you dump everything out of your pocket.
Yeah.
You can carry a bag chair, but you can't carry it in the bag. So you have to walk around with this
yeah.
bag chair, with these little Augusta chairs in your hand.
Right.
If you have items, they give you a clear plastic bag so they can see all
yeah.
day long
yeah.
what you have in that bag. And that's here. That's in Low Country of South Carolina. How in the world does something like that? Why are those practices not employed?
I don't get it. It's
don't
pulling. You know
and
what?
I know maybe that shouldn't be the focus right now, but man.
But it is. But they're just burying their head in the sand as far as their security. I mean, even if you go to the River Dogs game and your wife has got her bag, they're going to at least look into her purse to make sure there's nothing in there.
Well, you know, complacency is what got us in trouble in 9/11, 2001.
Yeah, yeah.
I just can't understand how a country like the United Kingdom, with their experience of terrorism,
right.
can get complacent at any time.
That's right. All right, Steve, I appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for tuning in. Ted, don't have enough time to do you justice. If you could hold on till the till after the news break, we'll get certainly get to you. He wants to talk about a shooting in North Charleston. We'll have that for you coming up. It's, again, grab that umbrella. We do have a good chance of rain today. Maybe some thunderstorms coming through with high winds.